This is CliffCentral.com.
There we go. Welcome to the Just Now Comedy Podcast, 9 a.m. on Cliff Central, 19, 2018.
There we go. Yeah, cowbell.
All right, we're on. Wait, is Eric here? Because we normally say, what time does this thing start?
And he goes, just now, man.
You're not on.
He isn't on.
He's not on.
Hello.
And this, oh, and she works here.
Yeah. Now you asked her not to put me on, David Dick.
No, there's only three of us. So we do want to apologize. Comedy Central are going to come in on the 16th of November. Unless you're listening to this on the 16th, then it's not.
But I don't think you'll be listening to this on the 16th of Comedy Central.
I think what happened is it became quite a serious thing. We thought they'd come on and tell us about what they've got running is called November balls, which is to get men to go and have their balls checked for some sort of medical thing.
Oh, I didn't get that. Okay, I didn't get that.
You did the promo.
I saw the ad, but I didn't know that I needed to. I just was like, keep canting the balls. Okay.
Okay. Right. So you went outside and you got a homeless guy.
You were watching it and holding your balls already. So message received. I checked myself.
So you know how I watch Comedy Central.
Hand in pants.
That's exactly what they're doing. It's not to compete with November.
That's actually a better tag. Hand in pants than keep canting the balls.
Yeah, that other one's too aggressive.
It's too violent.
Yeah, just and especially because it is because your balls are very squishy.
Yeah, and
there was the lady who said
you know about Rishi's balls. Do not speak for Rishi's balls.
Well, we're talking common balls.
No, just the common balls. The man in the street.
Yeah, average man's ball.
The average lady boy in Thailand. But the lady said, "People say stop. Don't be a pussy. You know, for showing weakness." And she said, "Like, no, it should be don't be a testicle." Because pussies take a pounding. Like that's yeah. And no, it was Rose from Golden Girls.
Yeah, you reversed it, but yeah.
No, she did. That's what she said.
She said, you got to have pussies balls. No, you got to have balls. And she's like, no, you should be a pussy because something. I think we fucked that up. Basically, pussies take pounding.
But he made it sound good anyway. I like the way Dave said it.
I like the way I said it. How's things been going, Ryan?
Good.
Because last week you spoke, you said you had a thing happening. It was on the something.
No, it's next
October.
Month.
Is it next
no,
month?
It's next month. But this week I had Andrew Mack. He's now organizing shows at Chicago's in Four Ways.
Who is Andrew Mack?
He has another podcast. Dave was on it. He's a guy who's young.
Should
to comedy
never have
like
given
me.
Him advice. My advice to him was if you can't get gigs, start your own gig.
And literally a week later, it happened.
Start his own gigs.
He took the advice.
All right.
So yeah, it was cool. Gavin headlined and Prince hosted.
That was last night.
Wednesday.
It's quite cool that we have all these names that we just throw around like that.
But it's also cool that Ryan does every gig that's just like every gig that opens. You have to have Ryan, Gavin, Kelly, and one of the worst guys, and then like it's official. It's an opening
because you get the audience like, is this an opening gig?
Ah, it's Ryan.
Guys. Just keep moving around.
He's got a little scissors that he waits at the door and cut the ribbon
and smash the bottle on the back.
Why don't you do that? That's funny. Get a ribbon and get.
I can't afford a ribbon. a big ribbon like that, Dave. And a big scissors?
You have to get the big scissors.
You get a normal size scissors, but you get like 80 meters of ribbon from CNA and you use it at every gig you're
going. Use it for the whole
year. Fight in bulk macro.
That's not a bad idea.
I'll ask Eric to pick up some for me because he works at macro.
Yes, he doesn't really. He kind of makes the announcements from a top thing there. Does he walk
around?
No,
he walks around. Right next to the TV and they're like, I'm standing in front of a brand new 55-inch.
Why don't they advertise on this podcast then?
No. Oh, because, actually, I can
I think we swear too much.
No. It's so hard not to swear.
No, we don't.
Like, not fucking...
Well, we're trying not to so we can get the mainstream because the whole thing is
but comedy
clients last night to my John Christmas and he said he's actually swearing less now at these corporate events because he's realizing that's how you make money.
What you don't realize is John has always been not swearing. They just don't realize it.
Once you get that
John has
that
never
tag, once
he has
you get
never
that
sworn
tag,
at a corporate, I can guarantee you.
No, he has a few.
He's spoken.
He's been given the free range to do it. But you're smart. You don't shit where you eat.
Oh, unless you live in a very small house and then you don't have much choice. But
we don't shit, we eat, man. That's the rule.
It is the
and
rule.
And Richard, you've been doing things?
I've been doing things. I've been having... actually, I had a great last, like I say, 6 weeks of comedy.
Really?
Which is fun times, yeah, because I did...
Like full often. On, just yeah. Every night working.
Yeah, well, not every night because I did Clarence and then I was in Jozi. I did the thing Parker's or thing. Then I flew to Cape Town. Then I came back to Jozi. I played a couple of days at Goliath. Then I went to Dubs, and I came back from Dubs now.
Do you know how amazing that is? In terms of years ago, you couldn't do that. You've literally got a circuit, and you're working every two nights or so.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, it's been great in the way that I've been able to play comedy, but also to play comedy to different rooms and to see different comedians. You know what I mean? Because I got to see Cape Town. I met new comics who impressed me because it's very rare that you see a comic you haven't seen before and you enjoy them.
Yes. Well, so who like who?
For example, I saw Liam Bento who said he's been doing comedy in, I think, 10 years, yes. 8 years or something. But I've never seen him
okay,
ever.
Okay, cool.
But you can see he's kind of been working at the comedy thing. I met Nonto in Durban. She sounds exactly like Sifiso Nene. Like, not his material, but his demeanor, his voice, his poses. It's exactly him, just that it's a female.
Does she know Sifiso at all?
I don't know. She's Zulu, I guess. Maybe it's
no, it might be a culture.
All Zulu people know each other.
No way of talking.
Because I know, because Nene is like that timid Zulu guy. Oh. That's his vibe. And then that's kind of like Skuma is also Zulu, but he's different.
What's the lady's name?
Nonto.
Nonto.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's at the comedy club this weekend in Cape Town. I saw some things on Instagram.
That is brilliant, man. All these things, you know, if you're an established comic, you forget about what it's like to start. Then they have these competitions like Kamikaze.
Oh, yeah. We was won by Cry the Toy.
Okay. How do you feel about that?
Well, I have a... Are you happy to see me? Is that a banana in your pockets?
Is that...
I say, yes, ma'am. It's a banana in my pocket.
Is that his joke?
That's one of his gags. But yeah, it's for me, it's like he's been doing comedy a short while, so I don't know what's the entrance criteria for Kamikaze.
Do you know? No, definitely.
You did mention
about
this. There were two or three years of comedy under his belt, or maybe more.
Yeah, we said that, and not hating. I mean, I love Cry. And
yeah,
it's
hard to be truthful and not sound salty.
He seems too established for. I mean. In my round alone, the first...
And I think he has won another competition, too.
There were two guys who were on stage the second time and for the first time ever. A 16-year-old guy, and then you have someone who's been on Nationwide. That's like a massive discrepancy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, I don't exactly know the criteria, but
that
does
seem...
You
also don't want Nationwide to count against you. So, he was...
Yeah, but
he's
for
new,
an amateur comedy competition.
You can't go, he's new. Then he did Nationwide. Now, all of a sudden, his career changed. He's still actually here. He would just happen to be chosen for Nationwide as a new comic.
And Nationwide, you can only
I promise
do it
you,
once.
You only got paid X amount for Nationwide. You're not now buying a car.
But you got paid 10,000 rand to do Kamikaze.
But
so.
he's still on this level. Don't worry about it. Nationwide is just a spike.
Are you referring to Cry right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nationwide is a spike in his career. He's still a new comic.
Yeah, because I did speak.
I would take Nationwide out of there because it's purely by invite.
Because
so
I spoke
like
to
new comics.
It's not a progression. So I spoke to Ryan about Nationwide.
Yeah.
Because I was with Ryan in Durban last weekend, just hanging, because Dylan was down there doing his one man.
Dylan Oliphant?
Yeah. I don't know if
just that show.
no, he became.
He doesn't handle him.
He doesn't handle him. He doesn't fondle his testicles or anything, but he. Well, they drove down together, so he's obviously managing his.
Because he has Oliphant testicles.
So I asked Ryan, what's the. Because I was also looking at the lineup for Nationwide, and I was like. I just spotted a few guys and asked him, how does so-and-so qualify? How does so-and-so qualify? What's the criteria for Nationwide? So he said, okay, as much as you think that you've seen the guy, I don't want to mention names of anybody because I don't want, not personal.
Spicy, yeah.
It's just that you see the guy doing things all around, but what you don't realize is that he hasn't done anything more than maybe club gigs or a couple of corporates here and there. So he hasn't done a tour.
He has restaurant gigs.
He hasn't done
and
a
maybe
TV
he's
gig.
Done an open spot at Parker's. He hasn't done any of the Goliaths.
Yeah, he's never been on TV or he's never done a tour. He's never been overseas or he's never done that type of thing. So that's a criteria. So then it made sense to me. I was like, because for me it's like...
Woody made
a
meme. Sorry. Talk about it just now.
So...
On that point, how do you guys feel? I mean, so that the Nationwide thing was kind of the young, less established comedians. Would you guys like a show for your level on Showmax, you know, an opportunity like that, because it is dope. I mean, their faces
are... It's an amazing
are,
opportunity. What he's just said is exactly that. So if I was a young comic and I was given the chance to be, you'd be on television, you increase your profile, but you're not going to go straight from there to get to getting the Standard Bank Awards evening night. That's a completely different progression.
Yeah.
But would you guys like, you know, this, the Nationwide was for the beginners. Would you guys like a show that's for your level of experience?
There weren't all beginners on there because it's being filmed. You kind of needed a semi-pro beginner, someone who really does this as a career. So there was no one there that's working a 9-to-5 job. That they were pros. Those weren't all beginners. I mean, maybe Gilly has got a job, but they were seasoned pros. That lineup was easy to film. Those guys had paid their dues.
Lindy, funny.
I didn't see Nationwide, but TC's on another level now.
I didn't see it. Well, I went to the live, to the thing. To check
it
out.
Oh, you saw it? Okay.
Yeah.
You know what was nice? The young guys learned about how to do a promo. They shot a promo video.
Yeah.
They're working with the name, so Trevor knows paying it forward.
Yeah.
He's coming back to the country and saying, okay, let's find some more people.
Second one. That one. Second one.
Yeah, it's the second one.
First one was with Dusty and Robbie and Delicious. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and he's actively pushed it. It's not just something he did. Like, he put it on his, like, social media platforms.
It was a 20-meter billboard.
Yeah, they're all over the place. Every day I see Bungani and Mbu.
Brilliant.
Every day on Main Road.
Eric as well. You're forgetting Eric.
Eric's late.
He's always,
actually, Eric's on the flight, so he's going to PE. He's
off. Basically proving the point.
What's the point?
That he's out doing these things.
You don't have to be here.
Once you're a Nationwide, you don't come to the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it.
And then who's touring at the moment? What's happening?
I saw Siti on that point is in Thailand, if I'm not mistaken.
Siti's in Thailand. Yeah. Mojack was in New York
for a month. Oh, was Mojack?
It's kind of weird. Like I feel that this podcast launches not Nationwide.
We're solely responsible for most comedians' careers. That's how it works.
Except for how you do that, right?
I had Andrew Mack's show. I need more people to start shows so that I can be there because I'm there.
Well,
you've got to
take Dave Levinson's advice and start your own show.
Okay, just to give. Rishi's not sitting next on my sister's Facebook profile, saying,
"Does he know? Do you know that he's on that?"
He showed me. Okay. He's trying to prove a point.
I thought you were married or something. I was
no, not too. I'm from the east, but we're not married.
Did you have a photograph of you and your sister? She had a kid, or someone had a kid.
No, that was a friend.
Okay, cool. Because it was on your profile picture for
My mom's just like, people are going to think you secretly have. I'm like, Mom, no one's going to think that's
my child.
Does
your mom speak like that? Do it again?
No, she speaks normally.
People are going to. Because on your profile picture, it was you and a little kid, but you're posing next to the person.
Yeah.
Okay, and it was on there for long.
It was.
Okay. The kid's enough to recognize the profile picture.
You know what my profile picture is now?
Not this face.
A photo of. Yeah. Andrew Mack's gig.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so now this face painting thing you're doing this morning, you got a full, let's call it, is it East Coast LA?
I don't know.
He's neither a blood nor a crip, though. He's got a black
thing.
I did. You went black.
So he has this paranoia that I have. I was going to do like South African gang, like 26ers or whatever they.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. Why?
No, I didn't do that. And yeah, this is how anxious I am about life, is because I have a show in El Dorado Park tomorrow and I'm scared it doesn't wash off. Sure. And I don't know where these gangs are.
You're giving gangs way too much credibility, bro.
They often go to comedy shows just to take them for chill.
The 26ers are not sitting in the back in this.
Yeah.
Nah, bro.
No, one dude there will be like,
they're sitting in the front, obviously.
Like, that's disrespectful, and then I'll get my ass stabbed, so...
Sure.
I went with for the people who can't see me because it's radio.
But what about social media, man?
I got an 87 on my face, which is the year I was born.
Okay,
and it says King,
which is you believe in God.
That's it. It's purely religious. Yeah,
and a spider.
Spider web up here. You just can't see it.
There's a spider right there, and there's a little cross above your eye.
And there's a dollar sign.
What is the reason? Is it Halloween?
Yeah, it's Halloween. At your office. Work. So we're gonna. Yeah, it's a dress up today.
Your office is very fun.
Yeah, I work for an agency, so we do. We do a lot of cool shit. We got massages today. We're getting soft serve, and
that sounds like a happy ending.
Yeah, it wasn't code. It's a happy ending, and a ton of booze. But that happens every Friday. Free booze.
You're kidding.
Every Friday.
Who pays for that?
The company.
What the fuck?
This is agency.
You know what is interesting? You talk about touring and doing comedy things. So essentially, you're a 9-to-5 comic. You work a job.
Yeah.
You get on the plane, fly to Cape Town, do your weekly. Well, like Cape Town Comedy Club is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
The Cape Town Comedy Club. July is Friday, Saturday.
Wednesday. Yeah.
Parker's Thursday to Saturday.
Thursday to Saturday.
So the Cape Town one runs almost that full five days.
Gets packed.
So now I went to a corporate gig last night. It was scripted. I had to dress up in a circus thing.
Yeah, you look cool. No, it was, what was the theme?
Ring, the greatest show.
Greatest show.
Oh, yeah, showman, yeah. The greatest showman. Yeah, yeah. So I was Hugh Jackman, basically. Oh, it's Hugh Jackman.
The equally handsome
version. Yeah, we phoned me and said, hey, Dave, cut it out. Cut it out.
Okay, but why Australian? We need to address the fact that every single day or other day on my Instagram, I see Levinson dressed up at either Hogwarts or painter or a fucking magician.
A pirate.
You're not figuring out that Instagram doesn't work unless you do something stupid. You won't get likes unless you dress up like a doos and do
but
something
what kind
stupid.
Of corporates are these? That it's a, are they all dressed
up? No, they're not dressed up.
I'm the
only guy dressed up.
Yeah, he's dressed as Spider-Man just doing like the SAB
given,
conference.
I've given up. Like, if you know what? I've arrived in my suits and I've done the things.
You've done this,
and I've realized now, if you arrive as the only guy dressed up, and you must have a very tight
pants. Are you telling me that
pants.
You're just dressing up for Four Call?
Nothing. There's no reason. There was no theme. That was a golf day. I just dressed up as Bruce Lee. But no one recognized it as Bruce Lee. They went, Elvis! Hey, Elvis! And yet Bruce Lee was an Elvis flipping big fan.
And you were Elvis the week before.
And they called me Leon Schuster. But no, that's what I'm saying. The corporate that I went to speak to the company, they have company functions.
Yeah.
They have this awards evening where they have long service, so people have been there for 5 years or more. All these little things that they had. Now, in your comedy, so you starting out, you've got to start thinking like that. 9-to-5 comic. You
want
to be in the. You want to wake up in the morning, you want to be in the company for this. You start your own company.
Yeah.
You're in comedy for how many years now?
Yeah, a year and a half.
Year and a half. You should be at your own company awards, just having that corporate vibe so you can. Like Rishu gets on the plane, does a gig.
Yeah.
Yet these people go to work every day.
Yeah.
Even your company, you're doing this thing on Friday. You've got this vibe.
Yeah.
You don't have that in comedy. Where's your office where you can have drinks on Friday? Mm. With colleagues. And with our colleagues,
well,
I mean,
suppose it's like hanging out a Goliath.
This is what this
Friday.
Is, exactly. But it's not the same because it's like people are trying too hard to be funnier than each other and do things. I want that proper, I long for that office environment. Like I miss drinks on Fridays at an agency.
It's on that point, and I actually want to chat about this. Hanging out with comics, do you guys find that everyone tries to be funnier than each other and that it's quite fatiguing? You know, if you just want to have a real chat, like, how was your day? Okay, well, I woke up kind of, I have pain in my knee. Nothing sore. I mean, nothing. It's not funny. I just want to talk about I hurt my knee. Is that a thing?
First time I was asked to do one of those new comics things. I just started, and then Eddie Kazar got a bus trip and he organized top billing. So there were 6 comics in the bus and there was one older comic and he'd been doing this for a while and he was just going to come with and going to sort of host
the chaperone.
Yeah. And it was weird watching the younger comics react around the older comic because the younger comics were using up all the material on the bus.
Yeah.
And the
what you mean in conversation?
In conversation. Yeah. The established comic was chilling. There was no iPads in those days. There was no phones. Chilling, but reading a book or something, reading a magazine. When we got there, when the cameras went on, the established comic fired on camera.
Yeah.
And the younger comics had burnt themselves out on the bus when nothing was relevant anymore. And that made me realize, like, why are we all trying to impress each other? The guy to impress is the agent, the client,
but
the people out there that are
but don't
bills.
You but
don't do you like banter?
Do you find like I chill with comics, okay, no, I don't do material. I would never do material among a bunch.
You can spot when a guy is, hey?
Yeah. Like, so yesterday I saw like 2 homeless guys, right? So you're like, two homeless guys. You are like,
I was at this thing, I was dressed as Bruce Lee.
Like, you're lying.
There was a guy on this podcast that came and brought material with, and it was picked up by Eric and myself, and we said, don't do that. Don't bring material to the podcast.
That's weird.
Because he had written stuff, and he kept trying to shoehorn
it
in. We'd be talking about mountain climbing. He's like,
It reminds me of the story with 2 hobos I have.
You're just nervous. But maybe that's a young thing.
Yeah, but I think it is. It's also because, like, I always ask this question. You know, like, when you started doing comedy, thanks for putting the cowbell down, bro. When you started doing comedy, it took you a little bit of a while to say, I'm a comedian, right?
Filling in forms was the first time I did it.
Really? But I'm saying when people ask you what you do, you're like, I've been known to tell a joke or two. Or even if you get
booked. But now, do you think Carvin or Trevor ever had problems doing that?
Yeah.
They straight up said, I'm a stand-up comedian.
No, I think there has to be, like, after your first gig.
Calm your tit.
You got to go, take it down a notch, homie. Do you know what I mean? You got to keep doing that. And then, because I've noticed.
Yeah, you see on the hashtag, comedian life. Like, no, you did open mic life.
Yeah.
Well, at what point, Rishley, do you think you can call yourself a comedian? Specifically, like, I like the idea of saying I'm a comedian, but, you know, I've had, what are my paid shows? Giovanni's, you know, I've been on the podcast stage.
So what's your current career? Where's your 90% of your cash coming from?
No, 100%. I get like no money. So it's from work, 9 to 5. So at what point would you guys say is that, okay, I'm now a comedian, where most of your money comes from that, where you sustain yourself solely from
the
comedy?
Thing is, you're in the business of comedy.
You're
in the business of comedy. You got the podcast. You are at gigs. You connected with people. You're meeting more people as you go.
Yeah.
When I speak to you after the podcast, you say, fuck, it was so nice meeting that guy.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have access to those people in your other job.
Oh, 100%.
So you can say you if someone says I'm in the comedy game.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, you
I mean, I work
something.
I most all of my money comes from the job I have at the agency, but I put the same or more amount of time into comedy. Yeah. So can I call myself a comedian, or is it like stay in your lane?
I would steal
line?
Some of that free but alcohol me, and sell it outside the parking lot, quite
like
frankly.
I don't think it's a black and white stay in your lane. Don't come here. This is our game. Mm. Nobody can get into it. Fuck you. It's not that. It's like, for me, it's like in your own personal capacity, bro, you know. So like, if you want to become a plumber, you can't go and change it one tap and be like, yo, okay, I'm going to do a complex.
Hashtag
thing.
Plumber life.
You know what I'm saying? You get to a level. If somebody phones you and says, I have a leak on the fifth floor of a building, then you can like, okay, cool. I know what I have to do when I get there, because I'm a plumber.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You have it inside you. If someone phones you now and tries to book you for a gig, if you're not, you'd be like, oh shit, I can't do that thing because they got Dave Levinson's hosting, they got Intermezzo Lindy closing. What am I going to do?
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't even have a suit, or I don't have material that fits into that environment. Mm. Whatever your hang-ups might be, you know what it is, right? So therefore you can... I don't say don't call yourself a comedian, but I mean like pace yourself. That's what I think. So like all the guys that I know that...
So would there be levels?
There should be, like, in your mind you should have levels. Like you have to be like, you got to want to be the best, but you can't wake up in the morning, do one gig,
and then
change your name on Facebook to Dave the Comedian Levinson.
Yeah.
And then,
but the thing is, on those social medias, they tell you to do that. You almost do the fake it till you
I
make it.
I suppose that's a good point. Social media, you do fake it.
Yeah, like Dippy Dimpopo is on a lineup.
I'd be very, as a human, someone said to me, can you do this? We got a 40th birthday party. Can you do like 40 minutes? I'd be, some guys just do it. They're brazen about it. Like, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
And they can't. Unless, because some people do that at a corporate when there's no one there. They can do 5 minutes of Mel Miller.
Yeah.
6 minutes of so-and-so. And they're kind of covered for the other 15.
Yeah.
Which is not cool. But Woody sent a meme. It's got, I can't describe it. It's got Eric as a merman with muscles and like horns. And it says, guess who's late again? Eric's not even late.
Yeah, he's so late. He'll be in a week's time.
He's flying to PE.
Richie, what was the moment for you where you like, I'm now a comedian? Where you're like, okay, this is me. This is my identity.
Like, exactly. See, for me, the it was tricky because... The first gig I ever did was a gig that I put together with Carvin and myself. We did our own gig, right?
Okay.
And then from then, for the next 2 years, I played just our gig. So, it was a dope gig. We got people came out every week. It was like a 200 seater, so we do like 400 a weekend or whatever.
So like, that's a gig. That's successful.
It was proper, right?
You just needed me to cut the ribbon, but...
Yeah, so cut the ribbon. And then I did that, and then our gig started getting traction, and John Christmas came to try his material at our gig. Mark Banks came to our gig. Nene was on my lineup. Nene was part of our little crew. We had the same lineup every week for 2 years.
And people came back?
Who was head prefect of that? Carvin.
Myself and Carvin, yeah.
Okay.
So basically,
but did you have a strategy for? Because a lot of guys will do one gig and then I ask them, "Are you doing another one?" Like, no, we just were giving it a try. I'm like, you should have a strategy.
Mm. The thing is, we used the momentum for the first one. So the first one, it was all new lineup. So it was myself, Neil Green, and there's a guy named Senzo Mthethwa who still does comedy in Durban for the Dingalings. They the Indian. He's a black guy that grew up with an Indian family.
That's a cool hook, yeah.
So he plays a tabla and he's Hindi, he's proper.
Sure.
I had to work with him.
That's sort of the Indian black Trevor Noah.
And he was just weird. So I said, hey, bro, I think you need to come. Just let people see you.
Just go out there.
What's his name?
Just do your thing.
Senzo Mthethwa.
Okay.
He's still busy. He's actually a Lotus FM DJ.
Well, I mean, think
now.
About it exactly. And Neil Green's got a show
on East Coast Radio.
East Coast. So it's kind of weird. Like, no one must ever knock the open mic shows.
Yeah.
They're almost the fertilizer of everything.
Yeah,
that's what it starts.
Someone goes, oh, but it's open mic. I want to see established comics. I'm like, no, you're going to see a guy that in 5 years' time you're going to say, I saw him when he was stumbling on his words and trying to find his
and feet. That's what our gig was about. So our gig, so I invited all my friends and everybody invited their friends. So basically it was a room of our friends.
That also makes you relaxed.
Yeah.
So but no, I'm saying that. It's bullshit. Like, I'm more tense.
It makes it worse. I feel way more tense.
Now, they spot my bullshit straight away. I'm like, but I've got a friend who's a pilot. I'm like, Dave.
You never saw those hobos, Dave. You didn't see those hobos.
You don't have a friend who's a pilot. It's me. I fly a Cessna.
That's how it is now. But before, it was easier to be in front of your friends because it was a safety net. Now, because you've established yourself and your material and you've written and you've got a persona and that's how you perform, you always... Then people that know you from your life from before, they don't know your performance personality anymore because they're out of touch with you. So when they're watching you perform, they're literally watching you perform.
That's it.
Like before, it was them watching me telling stories about my house, like real stories, right? And like so that gig, we got about 70 people in our first night. And then after that, I was so hyped up by that buzz. I was like, we got to do another one, bro. We got to do another one. And I found the perfect venue, which was like I'm saying, a 200-seater. It was a church converted. So when you walked in, it looked like church. When you walked in, it just dipped down like into the seats and the stairs and then the stages at the bottom. So when you walked
in Durban?
In Durban, in Stamford Hill. So when you walked in, it looked normal. But when you walked through like the little church door entrance, where you would see that altar in front, is nothing there. It just falls down in the stages at the bottom. Very like a theater, very, very nice theater. So we played there for 2 years. So for me, it's difficult to say I'm a comedian because I'm booking myself.
Yeah.
Like nobody's booking me.
You can't be, just because you fix your own toilet at home, you're not a plumber. You're just a DR, you fix your fucking
even
house.
If you fix the shit out of that toilet. That was an accidental pun.
No, that's fine. You love to do that.
Okay. So we had a DJ, we had DJs within the little group there. And then the DJs would have little, like, you know, because DJs play at these little restaurants and bars, whatever. Yeah. So what we started doing is branching out into that. So we started doing club gigs. I didn't know all this shit existed, bro. So we started making up club gigs. So if the DJs were like, we're playing at Vaka or Matza or we're playing here, then I'm like, let us do comedy there. Yeah, cool. And we didn't even, we just booked like before the music starts, an hour before that.
Just a quick
we'll do comedy. And people started loving that. And like, we actually have a show down the road. And that's how we got momentum. So we didn't.
So those strategies are in the book. Crossing over with
cultures. I used to go to the nightclub with flies in my hand and give people in the club flies, bro. And they'd be like, who's telling the jokes? Because no one understood this thing. And I'm like, it's me. You. Are you even funny? And then I'll go at him and tease them. And then his friends start laughing and whatever. And we just keep moving. And then I would go to, I started walk up and down Florida Road. I would put, like, I wouldn't even put into cars. I would want to keep people, have that interaction.
Yeah.
And then at the show, I'd see them there. Like, bro, you here? I'm so happy that you're here. After the show, if you didn't enjoy the show, I will give you your money back, bro.
Yeah.
And that's what we do all the time. And then
so you're quite fearless. I didn't know that about you.
Do you think
that one-on-one interaction is difficult?
Do you think an approach like that would work now?
It will always work. Like Carvin filled up a 1,800-seater, which is in Playhouse, by going door-to-door in Newlands and giving people and inviting them to the show.
Shit, that's DIY.
And no, but it's also, it's pure hard work.
And I guess that is.
What it comes down to is that 9-to-5 comic. Like, I'm waking up, and I'm going to do all these flies. And then at top bust one, I'm going to take a break, and then I'm going to do this. So that means that that person that came in there with the ticket, say that was 1,000 people. Each one of those people got to see the dude that's on stage.
Yeah.
So imagine if Dave Chappelle comes to your house and like, I want to come to concert. He doesn't need to.
He must watch Block Party. That's what he does.
He does that.
Yeah.
He gets, you two did it. They invited people personally who they knew back in the day. And they said, if you're a musician, come, you've got Golden Circle. Then one of the songs, the band left and they said, you guys can play one of our songs.
Oh, that's okay.
How happy were those guys? Yeah. They got invited and they played a song. So we forget about this.
So maybe
things.
We should use that as our...
listen, you still do it at Grahamstown.
As our hook for the tour we were proposing.
Well, we are going to talk about that. But before then, I just I had that gig last night. I was blown away by the courteousness of the client.
Courtesy.
Like, I've never been treated so nicely.
Yeah.
A thank you card before the show. We're so proud to have you as our MC. We hope the show goes well. Like a little card on a table.
So that's not the case usually, I'm assuming.
Never. It's never the case. A box of chocolates... to say thank you and then enjoy the gig. And then never spoke to me again till the end of the gig because they fully trusted me. She never came to me and said, listen, please take this out, do this. Yeah. Anything that was wrong, I changed. The speakers, we were on a frequency as another conference upstairs. So their stuff was coming through our speakers. So they just shut the show down for 10 seconds. I did comedy with no mic in a 200 room. Just chatting to people, making them one-on-one, doing crowd work.
You say I did comedy in inverted commas, you can't see them.
Yes.
But it's for you, it's not doing comedy. It's just
the sound guy said we've got a fuck up here. We've got a frequency of the gig upstairs. Overlap. So all they had to do was they had to reset all those Sennheiser little panels.
Yeah, right.
Those flappy things.
Yeah.
So he sets that up. It took him 10 minutes. So I said, well, let me just go. So I just walked around the room, complimented people, made jokes, found out names. I gathered information about the people, and they thought it was part of the show. No one was told that the mic isn't working. They just saw the MC walking around.
They just saw this pirate just cruising.
You know they call it close-up magic at these functions.
Yeah.
I'm doing close-up comedy.
Yeah.
But I mean, the people don't know. They thought it was part of the show, and that's your job.
Yeah. That was your slight.
They must see the blood.
Yeah, the slight of hand.
I was doing
pickpocketing them.
I mean, I'm not saying the jokes I'm doing were mine. Your stuff. You know who was great at Parker's last week? I think it was last week. Was Mojack.
I was going to say Mojack.
Fuck.
Was he hosting?
I've never seen a host like that.
What is it?
Consistent. So what do you do? Thursday? Yeah, Wednesday was a corp that the
yeah yeah the Cat corporate. Foundation yeah.
Was it cats?
It's always something like
that.
It was
something. Like, yeah. Blind cats. It was something for boats. We raised a boat.
I was going to say, I did rowing as well. I did the rowing.
Rowing seems big. And girls, rowing. It's like a big thing.
Yeah.
So we raised a boat.
Ping pong.
We made a boat. No one did that ping pong.
I did ping pong. You have no idea. I've done ping pong. I've done
ping
rowing.
Ping pong, the table tennis.
Squash, yeah.
But none of the people did that trick.
No, I was trying to get
I appealed. For that,
you tried yourself.
Do you know the trick, right?
I want to say what you're talking about, but
say it.
Is that
you dressed as a gangster and you're too shy to talk about a girl popping a ping pong ball out of her vagina?
Yeah, there you
go. Wasn't what he's going to say, though.
That is exactly.
did I succinctly?
Yeah, that's what.
But that is interesting because as a guy,
you have vagina to pop.
No, you have an ass. But have you ever thought about doing that and going on tour? Because you can do the trick.
I don't have the ability to.
You can, but you've never sat there and thought, geez, times are hard. Need some bucks. So now there's a girl in Thailand, maybe it was the 1950s or 40s, who was the first person to do that? There must be a documentary about that woman who thought, I need to get this. There wasn't her mouth.
I need some extra money. Budgies
I always
stuff.
Like to do that in comedies. Go back to the first guy that did it. It's a great way to start. It's not where your comedy should be, but it is a great way to do what if. Like, there is that guy who said, who's the first guy to discover that milk comes out of breast? And you're like, well, it's from babies. It's not just animals.
Yeah.
And he's like, what a freak who sat under it's such fresh milk. Why not take it out of the goat? It's not violating the goat.
But how many other animals did he try before? Was he sucking on sloths?
Male animals.
And
caterpillars are weird because as soon as you suck too hard, you suck the whole caterpillar out of its
stomach. We saw that on Lion King.
But human beings are the only... Human beings are the only creatures that consume another animal's milk.
Yeah, it's weird. When you break it down,
up until
it's weird.
Over a certain age.
No.
Oh, you mean another animal's milk?
Yeah. No, like you don't get it like
so no, elephants don't head over to the farm.
Yeah, like have some cows.
They're too big. It would be difficult to get under a cow. But a cow doesn't suckle from it.
No, man, they flip it up like that and just...
Flip it.
Yeah, it's like a little...
Cow tips.
Okay. We've moved on from there. So, Woody's now sent another meme. It's me sitting in a bath and it says, Xair, you want some craft beer? So I think Woody's into the... His name's Woody. And it's got me drinking
that
a
looks
big
like,
beer in a bath.
That looks like... It's a cartoon of the two guys sitting on the couch before.
Cartoon of two guys sitting on the couch?
Yeah, that's watching Beavis and Butthead.
Eric and Dave.
Is that not Beavis and Butthead?
So Eric did a race recently where he ran. It was the Trojan or the...
Spartan
Trojan.
I was about to say, they all in a horse?
No, the Spartan. Did he do this? Did you know about this? Because you know what's weird?
He told me he was going to do it.
Think about it. When we ask Eric to be in charge of news... We said, give us some news. And that's not just comedy news. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because as comedians, people ask us, like, so what's it like being a comedian? You just talk shit all day. They don't realize we do stuff. Like, he entered that Spartan race with his friend.
Yeah.
Who said, it finished an hour before.
And I saw that. And
I mean, the other friend was in good shape.
Doesn't look that much more of an athlete than Eric.
Is the Spartan race like
what? The other friend had glasses on the whole race.
That means... I used to play golf with glasses on. It takes shots off. That professional.
Is it the thing though?
You will not be allowed in a golf course dressed like that.
No, you won't.
Is it the race with the obstacles, or is it just like a running?
No, there's obstacles. No,
There's even a brain scan.
That's why it took an hour longer. It was basic arithmetic, and he's like, "Fuck!"
It was a puzzle. There's stuff you do.
My
and
friends
you
do that thing. There's like you get the city jump.
Yeah.
It's called.
But there's a hell of a community, and it's a big fun thing to do.
Places you'd never find.
I think what they did was that fitness by itself is very boring. Like you, the disciplined guys who get up in the morning and run, it kind of loses their, they don't have a social
life. Have you ever seen anybody running that look like they're enjoying themselves?
They look like they're,
not
once. Most of those runners that run a lot, they look gaunt
just
and sad.
Just Usain Bolt, that's the...
He smiles at the end, but that's 10 seconds.
Like he doesn't, during training, like I've never drove past somebody, seen him, like, I'm going to start running. That guy is motivating
like
me.
Fun.
You know what I was, and like obviously...
But the rat race looks like fun.
The jump, that's a jump. No, it's insane. Fall down, you must jump like 8 meters into mud. Fuck that shit, bro.
The 5 meter jump, I didn't want to.
I'm a grown ass man. Yeah. I got bills.
Through mud for.
I'm a grown up. Even my kid won't do that.
Coach, jump in the mud, boy. Jump from 2 meters. We'll get
it's
there.
It's very good for your skin.
Yeah, so is bathing and exfoliating.
Yeah, in the comfort of a bath.
I haven't bathed for about 7 years.
I don't like bathing.
I did the Dan Nichols show, which was
different. That's also interesting.
Oh, you look so smart.
What you don't do is you got to put Just Now hashtag in your things in every single one.
I do.
I want us to start doing that because people ask us about this. People said to me, "Yeah, you were just sharing the Dan Nichols story."
Yeah,
but that show's interesting because it's a majorly sponsored show.
Yeah,
they have the guests. Who are your other guests?
There's a guy named James Keane, who's a striker for SuperSport United. He played in every city practically in the world. He's a traveling, like you get a traveling comic.
Yeah, I was wondering about traveling pro footballer.
And it's such a dope idea because what he gets to do is live in different cities around the world. Like he's, like I'm talking about India.
And how does he get that right, agent wise?
Because an agent that obviously
is he very good footballer.
He's good, yeah. But he's he's played in the big league. Like
because that's almost illegal that he's got to be on loan from a main club. He's played to those other clubs.
He's played Premier League. He came to South Africa before, the deal didn't go through, and then
his name?
His name is James Keane.
James Keane.
And then there's a lady named the name is Joan, I think. She's the lady that summited Everest. You should have heard her. She was on Carte Blanche. She's quite popular. So she was breaking it down like how it is to go up the mountain. You sit because it takes 2 months. But for those 2 months, you're basically just staying on the mountain. You're not climbing. You're literally just staying.
The most dangerous part is not actually the climbing. It's all the staying and coming down.
So you stay on top. You're literally at the summit for 25 minutes. Because I asked them, 2 months you climb. How long are you
on top? That's foreplay.
Like it's 25 minutes.
Because there's like a narrow window with weather and stuff, so they got to wait for perfect.
And it's also teams, so it's a rotation. So in the morning, there's people going up and down the whole time. So you obviously, when your group goes, you get to
tee off time.
You get a dead zone. So when you get to the dead zone, you can't, if you get cuts or something, your body can't heal because of the atmosphere. So you where you can't spend a lot of time there. So that's the rotation area.
Yeah.
But you can't also just come back down from ill. I'm like, and why would you do that?
Did she speak about when she got to the top, how she felt?
25 minutes, bro. I'm having a great time.
You need a selfie for Instagram. That's it.
Ryan, your emotions are gone by then. You can get down and think about it.
Yeah.
Did you find on Dan Nichols that you didn't have time to be funny?
I was pretty funny, bro.
I don't need a lot of time to be funny.
Damn it, I didn't have time.
I got too engaged
in the other people because as we're not on a world stage yet. So
if you watch it,
who's on a world stage? Maybe Trevor, maybe Carvin, maybe a few other comedians that we don't even know about. South African comedians overseas. There's guys we didn't speak. Some guy, I don't know, Anderson or something. But when I was sitting next to Gary Kirsten and the other guy was Renner and Booth, their stories were brilliant. They played soccer in the World Cup, trophy.
But I was also not trying to. I was also trying not to overshadow them in trying to make I was cautious of the achievements. Like that lady walking up by yourself up the mountain and all, it's all great and stuff. But in my mind, I have so many questions, bro.
Yeah.
So every time I got her, I let her do a whole thing. When she's done, I'd stick a question. I'm like, but then why?
Then it would be a funny question.
Yeah. And that's what I did the whole time. So he plays football, he played all around the world. And I'm like, okay, cool. But then in anywhere in the world that you play, did anybody ever come to the stadium with a loaf of bread?
Yeah.
Fucking dressed as a doctor. Carrying a coffin.
That bread shit is weird.
That happens here.
That happens here.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no.
What is the loaf of bread thing? Because I saw that
it's
now.
It's daily bread, bro.
Yeah, we used to go to the Derby game and Oaks used to beg to bite our bread. It was so hearsy.
What's your Derby game?
Chiefs and Pirates.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you
SuperSport Sundowns.
No, so
with Gavin the other day.
Gavin Hunt.
Gavin Hunt and Joey Rostini, have you heard of him?
Oh, yeah. Joey's actually James Keane's friend.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
Joey's very connected to
sports. He was
playing
golf with James just before the show.
Okay.
So for me, it was not about being... I was being funny because there's a crowd.
Have you? Because they have a warm-up act.
Yeah, Kevin Kelly.
Kevin Kelly. Okay, yeah. That's what I like. Okay, Dan Nickel uses comics as a warm-up act.
And he's very easy. He's very easy to speak to.
Yes, and he listens.
Yeah,
because I've felt with the show, I've learned how to listen.
Really?
Have you?
Took you all this time?
Took this long. Took 2.5 years. And that has helped me in those interviews when you're on there. Because the guy asked a question.
Yes, you got to.
I don't rush anymore.
You got to mild the question.
Yeah.
Because
that's going to be, it's filmed and it's going to be on YouTube now.
And because you end up like, so you tell you the truth. Then like, no, bro. It's not like that. Just listen.
That's what I did. Breathe, with him.
Speak.
He asked the question. So what he did was clever. He gives you your 2 minutes. You do your thing. And he found out some stuff about you. I'm sure he did.
A lot of research. Yeah. Amazing stuff. I didn't know how he got half of the stuff he knew about me. Like,
no, he has. He's got a guy called, an Afrikaans guy called Kies or something.
Yeah.
And that does research and he's on Google and searching.
He knew that I don't like.
Phones friends of yours and ask things.
Even knew I don't like leaving home with dirty shoes. That's very specific information. I was like, where did you get this from?
It's in your bio.
It's not in my bio.
I know you like good sneakers though. You like to keep them clean.
Vintage. Yeah. That blew my mind.
Stuff, that's right, on eBay. When I did the show, he does golf days, and I also do golf days, and I felt like there was a thing there.
Golf day connection.
So underneath my shoes, I wrote, book me for golf days. So while he was talking, I put my shoes on the table. The cameraman noticed it and zoomed in on it. And then afterwards, they had to do a cutaway because I was like, no. So I also had my shoes in there.
Yeah, they do. They edited quite well. Very. Because you do like, we did like.
Well, that's the 100th episode. There's not many talk shows that even get past a season, which is 12.
Yeah.
So to do it 100.
But his editing is amazing because it all looks natural. Because
on the night, it's a bit staccato. Hey? It's like, what's happening now?
Yeah.
No.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Ron, we're going to get you on as an opening act if you can keep it clean.
I will keep it clean.
Can't talk about doing that ping pong trick.
You can't keep it gangster.
But I just have suggested.
You know I do, Rishlu. You know I do.
What accent is that?
Boxburg gangster, bro.
The guys outside were talking about black scent.
Oh, black mouth.
Well, he called it black mouth.
What's that?
He's using a black accent in a joke or in a story.
Oh, you're right.
Even if you can do it well, it's kind of now the days are over for that.
That's a perfect segue into...
You can do a beautiful accent of a black guy, a petrol attendant, a guy
you shouldn't.
Shop. But you shouldn't, but you find yourself slipping into it in terms of accents around the world. In order to be understood, you have to speak in that accent. There's so many times in America or anywhere you have to say, you can't say cold drink. It's not
but like
a word.
It's weird because like I don't like to do that many accents, but you do characters. So it's weird to do characters and not do accents, I guess. Because like, for example, I do the movie bits about the mass murderer or that phones the police. But I can't use my normal voice. Like, he phones the police to be like, yo, police. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what does your murderer say?
He's like, do
your murderer accents.
You'll never catch me, you American fucking pigs. But that's how he sounds in my mind. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't be like, yo, it sounds that. And then, I don't specify his race or his creed or his culture. I'm just like, this is how it sounds.
I love it when comedians do an accent and then they like say it's a Mexican for whatever, but it was a very obvious accent. I love that when they...
So then the best comedian would be one that comes up with a neutral accent that has nothing. So it's kind of Swiss.
All the millennials will love that. Just
then I'm going to start doing that. Every guy in my story has a slight French accent. So he could be Congolese, Cargard, could be just a crazy French guy.
He could be from France.
There's some shit happening in the world. Okay, who's touring? You said Jim Jefferies is coming.
In February,
really for reals. That's
it's sold out already.
I was gonna segue into Durban comedy with that.
Let's go back.
About accents, doing accents and black scents and
just for interest, for people who Australian people won't know black scent because there's no black accents.
Yeah,
so that would be someone speaking in an accent that you know just from watching. Like, well, you're doing a black person.
Yeah, okay. Which in Australia they all basically sound the same.
Yes,
it would. You can't say, and even if it's
talk about like the UK
in indigenous people,
I don't know
in
if
Australia
an aboriginal
still sound, you can't say aboriginal.
This
it's an indigenous Australian human.
Yeah, Trevor Noah got in trouble for some
but anyway, Durban, we're taught that. Yeah, Durban, let's talk about Durban. We've got 15 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
What is the great thing about Durban doing comedy, and what's the shitty thing?
The great thing about
mullet, like the Dan Nickel.
Did you just do a Dan Nickel?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I was just proving how you do
a classic mullet.
Yeah, go.
Like the great thing, I think, is that there's people coming out and paying their money, that they're filling up the rooms. like the K2 Hotel, amazing. Amsterdam, if like for grunge, in your face comedy, amazing. I played the Sibaya, which I decided about 3 years ago that I'm no longer going to play.
No longer doing it.
Yeah,
but that's the same with every casino.
But I just decided.
The casino audience has a problem.
Yeah.
The primary reason why they're there is to gamble or to do the casino things.
Yeah.
The movies and have dinner. So your secondary thing is a comedy because they've got nothing else to do.
Yeah. But those
that's
people.
Not why, that's not the person you want.
Yeah. To. So I stopped doing that specific casino. But now because I was in Durban and.
Did you do it in that big arena with the VIP areas in the glass boxes?
No, the Zulu Theatre. It's the world's biggest hut.
The one we did.
Like a 600 seater hut.
That's a big ass hut.
Ryan, this thing was sold out. But there was no one in the audience. They were in these glass enclosures, VIP enclosures.
It's really weird for comedy.
So we sold 250 tickets. But they put them in these glass enclosures, which are one-way, what do you call it, two-way glass. They could see us, we couldn't see them. So we were doing the comedy to the five plebs that hadn't got VIP tickets.
That's so weird.
But the fact that we had sold out, and I said to the guy, but that's not what comedy is. They must be in the audience.
Exactly.
I don't care. Have your VIP experience afterwards.
Yeah.
No, but all these things. And that's when I also decided, like, no, you don't know how comedy works.
Yeah, you didn't just know. Yeah, and things, like, you have to decide for yourself, like you're saying, when you call yourself a comedian, is when you know, like, you should say no to some things, man.
Shouldn't it be someone, I think maybe that's the answer, is when someone recognizes you as a comedian.
I guess so.
The first time you can write it down on a form is when the guy says, I saw you at The Worst Guys.
Yeah,
when you had Wimpy. I was walking past.
When you had Wimpy.
That's a good thing. People are coming out. There's a culture of comedy. There's a scene. There's a vibe in Durban.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the thing that weird?
Let's go to the cons.
The weird part is that it's like it's only 1 week a month, I guess. It's not like throughout
sustainable.
The month. Yeah, yeah. Like it should be, I think, more constant. The fact that I think the crowds are divided, that's a very.
Is it a cultural divide?
Cultural divide, yeah.
Explain
so
a little bit more detail. I've never been there, so.
So I run a show.
I mean, I've been to Durban, but not for comedy.
So I do a show in Durban at the Betsy Inn. So when I do my show, you'll get 300 colored people. So this weekend I played at Gateway. It was 200 Indian people, maybe 10 white people, maybe. Uh-huh. And two cuddle guys. Those are my friends.
And it's so weird if someone listening to this overseas would go, but why does that make a difference? They've got to understand 18 years of democracy doesn't change an entire 300 year of culture.
But I find it
so there's
strange.
A different thing to talk about. When you've got 200 Indian people in the audience, they want to hear the Indian stuff.
Yeah, which is also strange, right? So for me, that's the weird part is that it's difficult to get everybody in the same room at the same time. It's very strange.
Okay.
It's not difficult to play. It's comedy, but it would be better if I think it was more
mix.
Of everybody
the mix.
Else.
I also stopped doing the one, what do you call it, the one nature show, which is like, can you do my bachelor party? So it's just guys.
Oh, no, yeah.
Because guys lock differently when they're by themselves to when they've got, when they're ladies there. And ladies as well. They said, I did a bachelorette party and I couldn't get the comedy started.
You did a bachelorette party.
I couldn't get the comedy started. The lady said it'll be quite nice rather than having like a CD stripper or whatever. Get up there.
Have a
no
CD
microphone.
Comedian stripper.
Have a CD comedian. And then I set up my mic, do my things. Couldn't start talking. I couldn't start talking without being heckled. And I'm talking just no one interested. Just shouting at me, telling me to shut up, telling me to strip, telling me to take my clothes off.
In the second
year. Like, really? So you wanted it to be classy. You got a comedian.
And then you ruining it.
And also the girls were so nice afterwards. They're like, yeah, I mean, we're just having fun.
Yeah,
the nicest, quietest one in the room was the loudest one. When I must take my clothes off, show us your cock.
I think that's the thing about bachelorettes and bachelors.
So how did it go after that?
There's no inhibition.
Took out his cock.
That's a good art. Took a page. 3,000 rand. Shame.
But that's
the shame. And it was before phones, so I don't even have a video like Malusi.
After the first, after my first year of doing comedy, I think, I also got invited to do a hen
party. It's quite
party.
Weird. Like, why would you do that?
But I got there, scanned.
You cancel.
Got in my car. I didn't even cancel. I just left.
I don't know why I stayed. I was the only guy there. It was. I thought it might be fun. Like, we could talk about things and have things. And then I realized that my comedy isn't specific to a certain race, sex, or need. It just was weird. And that's what they wanted. They wanted to talk about marriage or talk about things. And I bet you if I'd said anything, I would have offended someone. So I rather just took one for the team. Said, okay, what do you want me to do? So I did like a mini strip show. I left shame.
Yeah, so now
you made money.
I did the ping pong ball tricks. I had it in my ass the whole time. And they didn't even
ask
for it.
That was a big tonight.
No, I had to leave. I just left and forgot. You know when you put something in your ass and you forget about it?
Yeah, so
later on when I got home and I had a dump, I like heard this popping sound.
You could just imagine Dave getting home from his gigs, popping it out and just washing it in the sink, all sad.
And then putting it back in the ping pong ball drawer. Yeah. Just showering in the corner.
Yeah, man. So,
so the key is don't forget your tricks.
Never forget your
tricks. Okay, so you were saying negatives.
It wasn't ping pong ball, it was a dove.
It's also the comedians.
Let's get on to that. You wouldn't have heard
what's wrong with Cape North Durban?
The comedians, bro. I found, like, you know what? There's a lot of things, there's a lot of unspoken laws, I guess, like material, like we just spoke about now. The
stealing, using other people's material?
No, besides that, just doing black accents,
okay.
Doing stereotypes. Like I saw
but
a
yeah,
guy.
It works, man. As soon as you do that Indian accent,
that's
the crowd
sad part.
Mad.
The whole crowd laughs. But that's the sad part. Like I've seen a guy do every single stereotype you can ever imagine. Everyone.
In his 15-minute set.
Like, colored people have teeth should not be said on stage, my man. Mm. It shouldn't be said, right? I don't know if that's just me, but I feel that the audience doesn't deserve for you to say colored people have teeth in 2018. That they don't deserve that.
Yeah.
But I've seen a guy do that and then do about Indian people giving discounts and then do Chinese people are short and this is how they talk. Mm. And then, like, literally every single stereotype. And people, I wouldn't say they're lapping it up. They're laughing. But I mean, it's anti comedy there. You know what I mean? Because there's
so
guys.
That's one of my biggest
Robbie's
problems.
Writing stories. Dave Levinson is talking about going on this treadmill. You talking about raping dogs or something?
And no, then, we know Ryan.
And then someone's gonna say, "Cut below your teeth," and it takes the ball all the way back
it's
down.
It's like disrespectful to the craft.
And
almost.
One of the things we do as comedians is build the craft in terms of what people perceive it to be. So everyone that asks me, "Oh, you do comedy? Do you do it like?" and they'll say, "Are you like
Riyad Musa?"
Then you've got to say to them, "Well, you don't know fuck all. You can't be cross with that person. You got to say, no, this is what we do." So what that guy's person or girl or whatever it was doing is taking all those things away. Those things that we build up to make comedy be like this.
Yeah.
They're going, "Oh yeah, I saw a comedian. He did this and then you're like, "Ah, oh, fuck."
Yeah.
So all that hard work. This podcast is basically that. It's telling people out there. But we all have a lot of comedians listening to this.
Yeah. So I said, like, Eugene was there with me the entire week. That's why
he's coming on next week.
Yeah. So I spoke to him. So I told him maybe next week or following. But
that's fire because he's a proper little firecracker.
Like, it's hard to have. It's hard to get him. So to have him on would be dope. But like, he was there. So I don't want to seem like because I take it very seriously. This is what I realized when I was in Durban. Because I was with Prince.
Have you never been that? You sort of saw yourself going, "Oh, fuck, I just grew up."
No, I've always hated shit material and that. But then I didn't realize, I was with Prince, and then Prince's girlfriend was with whatever. And then she said, you're passionate about the craft of comedy, which is very healthy. She just said it randomly to me while I was sitting here, because I was talking about someone talking shit. Then I thought about it and I was like,
"You're
protecting
it." It's sanctity. It's like a private little.
But we
church.
Should, And then I'm like, "Yeah, we actually, you're right. We should all have that, some sort of pride and some sort of ownership on how comedy becomes."
But I sometimes find a guy or girl that's doing that on stage doesn't do it full time.
They do.
Really?
Yeah. And dude, like, you have to go out and see. Like, it's like Listeriosis, for example, we did.
Yes.
I'm just using Joburg as an example because I'm here. And then the material was very... It was the Listeriosis outbreak, then the recall, and then people died, and then people made jokes for like a week. Let's just even give it 2 weeks, and then it was gone.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw three guys doing Listeriosis, but we can eat bologna again now. Hey. I'm like, you've been eating bologna again for the last 3 months, bruh.
Yeah.
So why are you... And nobody's laughing because they're like... Oh,
so there's a relevance issue.
You forgot about Poloni.
But that's where someone said to me, I'm doing a MC gig. Can you write me some jokes?
Why are three people...
Those are the actual words. And I said, well, who's it for? No, can't you write me like a standard thing that I can do when I'm MCing? Don't you do that? And then I realized that's where I became very precious about my craft.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot
don't
more.
Write a standard MC thing. Because I can walk on stage and go, "Isn't it great to be..." And then fill in the blank. At this thing where it's wonderful to fill in the blank. Yeah. You really want to do a paint-by-numbers comedy, you're going to get gigs. That's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you got midget gags and you're doing the midget conference.
Yeah, but the ceiling, so I said, where but your is ceiling the thing? Is very low then.
Where's your thing? What is it? If you're doing a, if you're wedding MC, are you just going to make a joke and fill in the names of the bride and groom in it?
Yeah.
You've got to adapt. You've got to
think. I do weddings. I go to the church.
And gather all of my anything I talk about. Your first 10 minutes can just be, how funny was this? How was this? Check out the roof. Look
the
at
the whole
thing.
Night.
Now everyone's laughing because you're killing the stereotype. And the elephant in the room is everyone knew that one kid cotched on the fucking carpet.
Yes.
And no one's mentioning it.
Yes.
It's your job to mention it.
Like the one
carrots in there.
Yeah, the one I was there. The somebody's camera, you know, when you do like a multi shot. Yeah. The whole church looks over. And I take out my notebook and I'm like,
oh, whole church.
That's in the joke. So that's one of the things. Like the comedians that are there have got to see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And the audience have also got to be exposed to great comedy.
Yeah.
And not to these people that are trying out their accents.
And it's live. Yeah, yeah, it's live.
Yeah, you can adapt. There's no reason why you can't.
Live. That's what I don't understand. I mean, it's live.
You could have changed your joke.
You could have changed it. You can see that there's a person in a wheelchair here.
Yeah.
You can't do the wheelchair thing. Yeah. Or at least make
it. No, you can if you make that person
make it
a
nice.
Hero. Yeah.
Make it nice.
Yeah.
You can't be like, ah, oh, fuck, wheelchair guys. Or I'm just saying, I don't know. That's what I found. It was very strange. Like, in Eugene's here, I think we'll be able to discuss in depth how.
Well, when Mojack's back from New York, I want to talk to him.
And Ryan.
The stuff that
Ryan was here as well.
Ryan Arduth.
So, yeah.
Well, I do. Ryan and
Eugene will
just
be.
Just so Ryan can keep Eugene calm. Because I think Eugene on the show will just,
we'll just
be
sit
an hour.
He'll just sit and watch him talk, bro.
So we're looking forward to that. I got to say goodbye. Ryan, do you want to say goodbye?
Cheers, everyone. Have a good week. We'll see you next week.
On behalf
we'll
of
hear you next week.
Oh. Well, and see us on
like, Instagram.
Because we like all fully, hey?
We like social media.
Okay, well, cheers. Normally.
On behalf of Eric, I'm going to say bye as well.
That's a great accent. I'm not coming to your show. I'm a real comedian.
That's coloured mouth.
My name's Dave Levinson. That's Ryan Holiday. Richard Benoit.
Being Richard Benoit.
You've been Richard Benoit the whole time. Cheers. Thank you. That's an hour we got away with.
This is CliffCentral.com.